Danny, how you doing, man?
Hello, Lou. Sorry, I'm just holding in the vomit.
It's your guttural reaction to this film?
Yeah. I'm well, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing, sweetie? Sweet, my wife has joined us today. We're doing a rom-com, she's here.
I'm having yarn issues.
Yes, she's having yarn-based issues. Normally, through the podcast, she likes to crochet while we talk. And
what the fuck?
It's become tangled, and it's quite a mega drama.
I've literally just picked the damn thing up. I don't understand how this has happened.
Have you got an end here?
I don't know.
Here? That's a bit dramatic. Right, anyway.
Just can't get the staff.
Right, Danny. The other day, I sent you a text that said, "During the 10-minute bullshit section of the upcoming podcast, I've got something that I would like to be furious about."
Yep.
And I do still have that thing that I would like to be furious about.
Okay, why then?
Danny, you are self-employed. In the most broad sense, you're an actor, so you are self-employed. So, chances are, you file for self-assessment with your taxes. And either you do it, or you get an accountant to do it, am I right?
That's correct, yep.
Yes, so do I, because I'm also self-employed. I'm an actor, and I'm a writer, and I have no idea. But, so every year... At sort of this time every year, it's time to do your fucking taxes. The deadline is like this time next year, but that it was like last year's money, so who gives a shit? But
yep,
you log in, right? The login process is the thing I'm having issues with, because the actual doing your taxes is fairly simple. It's how much did you earn, how many expense, what expenses did you have, and that's pretty much it. And then they just tell you how much tax you've got to pay.
Yep.
But the login process is what I have trouble with, because you approach the HMRC, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, which is such a pompous, arsehole-ish name. You approach this section of the internet, and you approach the login page, and you click past the Do You Want Coronavirus Advice page, because, no, I've looked at this page 300 times over the last week, I don't want any more advice on coronavirus. So you click to the login page, and then it asks you for several different pieces of information about yourself in order to complete the login. It asks you for your name, which is not a confidential piece of information. Lots of people know my name. Lots of people have my name.
Yep, that's true.
Then
I know your name.
Yeah, exactly. My wife knows my name. Do you know my name?
Who are you?
Yes, exactly. And
where am I?
Your name's Reginald, isn't it?
What's going on?
But it asks for your name. It asks for your address. And then, after it's determined that you are vaguely the person that you who you think you are, and I am perfectly fine with the fact that this is not secure.
Yep.
And then there's a secure login step where you are asked to provide your UTR, which is your unique taxpayer reference number, which is like just a number about tax that the government gives you.
That's
fine, I've got that,
right.
I'll put it in and it'll log me in, right? No, the next step, you have to put in your fucking national insurance number. Again, fine, there's only one person with my national insurance number, and it's me. Fine. So you log in, and then, what does it say, Danny, then? Because you only log in once a year to do your fucking taxes, and then you log out again, because why would you log on recreationally to look at your taxes? Instead, it says, we cannot verify your identity. How would you like to proceed? And it presents you with two options. The kind, beautiful people at HMRC present you with two options. Answer some questions about your credit history, or answer some questions about your passport. You need a valid UK passport for that one, obviously. No, I don't have a valid UK passport. So I thought, okay, fine. I'll answer the credit history questions. And the questions, good fucking God! They are worded in such a bizarre, oblique way that there is no way to know the answer to the questions. Even though it is me, I am me, I know the answers to these questions, and yet I still cannot do my own taxes. I've ended up having to write down all the different possible combinations of these potential questions, and I have to just try a different one every day. Because once you fail to log in, and it fails to verify that I am Lewis Brindley, in spite of the fact that I am Lewis Brindley, it then says, you've done it too many times, once is too many times, you've done it too many times, come back in 24 hours. So every day for the last week, fortnight, I have been approaching this website and trying to log in and failing. And you know what really gets me about this? It is completely fucking pointless. Because not only is it a ridiculous system to have it be this secure, it doesn't need to be secure, right? Okay, worst case scenario. Somebody breaks into my house in the night, kills me and my family.
Hey up.
Yeah. Oh, in this hypothetical situation, you're dying.
Fucking hell. Good morning. I just rolled out of bed and now I'm dead.
And then,
yarn needle through the neck.
Say.
And then, after that, they decide to try and collect our wages. Which is, I can understand a criminal wanting to do that because they would get money out of it. Okay, yeah. Fan-fucking-tastic. So they collect my wife's wages, everybody in the house, everything. They collect everything, right? And then it comes round to the tax year comes round, and they get a letter sent to Lewis Brindley at my address that says, Mr. Brindley, you must complete your online self-assessment tax thing. The criminal is not going to look at that and go, I better get that done. Because yeah. There is literally no point. For the only time that anybody could ever commit a crime with taxes would be if it was themselves doing it.
Yeah.
There is no point for the tax system to be this fucking secure. It's got a fucking two-factor authentication bit where it sends you a unique one-time-only PIN code that you have to put in on the site. Oh, God, it makes me so angry.
The robber's not going to fucking try and do tax fraud with your savings.
Exactly, that's the thing. But then, oh, Jesus, it just makes me so fucking angry. It just really makes... It's so frustrating that every day I approach this fucking website. It says, no, it's not you. But they have my IP address because I've accessed this website every day for the last fortnight. Why? Who else is going to try and log into my taxes every day for a fortnight?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, hang on. This is the first time that I've heard this story in full. So you're telling me that those two questions come after they can't verify your identity?
Yes.
So the question doesn't lie in those two... The problem doesn't lie in those two questions?
It does.
If they can't verify you before you answer the questions...
No, but they ask you the first set of questions and they say, yeah, we're happy with that. Now, in order to completely verify you...
You just said that they couldn't verify you on the first step.
Well, I'm presuming they can't, because otherwise why would they ask the second set?
Exactly, so the questions aren't the problem.
Have I been putting in the wrong fucking username or something? Oh,
have you
Jesus.
Been putting in the wrong national insurance number?
No, I know my national insurance number. I'm 100% sure that that's right. Maybe I've got like three different UTRs or something fucking ridiculous. Oh, Jesus.
Because if they can't verify you on the first step and that's why they ask the questions, the questions aren't the issue.
I am so fucking furious. Because I've got, there are four potential answer combinations and I've done two of them, so there's two left. So tomorrow and the day after, I'll do those two, and then on the day after that, when I'm inevitably still locked out of this site, I'll try and find a different UTR for myself.
Yeah, but... Can you not contact the people?
Oh,
the
God, Daniel! Yes, you can fucking contact them! There's an online chat form which doesn't fucking work. You go onto the website, and it says, one of our agents will be with you shortly. Please refresh the page. You refresh the page, and it says, none of our agents will take your message. Goodbye. What's the point of having the page if there's fucking no one there? And then they have a number, because you get a letter through the post that says, do your taxes. On the top of the letter, there's a number, which is for the HMRC self-assessment department, or whatever. So you call the number, and then it's like an automated message that says, please state, in not very many words, what are your business with us today? So I said, I need help filing a self-assessment tax return. And then it said, okay, I will connect you with the self-assessment department. It's, okay, fantastic. And then it connected, and it said, all of our agents are busy at the moment. I'm putting you on hold. And it put me on hold. Then literally, not even a minute later, it said, and this is a direct quote, all of our agents are busy. Goodbye. And then it hung up on me. What is the fucking point of having such a ridiculous system? Oh my God, why does it need to be so secure? I just want to do my taxes. Thing is, the only reason I want to do my taxes is so I avoid getting somehow fined by HMRC or something. I don't even know. At this point, I'd rather pay the fucking fine than have to go through this rigmarole again.
I would just like to point out my side of this story. I woke up one morning and was like, okay, it's morning, feeling fresh, let's go. And I went to the bathroom, which happens to be next to Lewis's study, and I could hear the muffled sound of his phone call going on. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, just leave him to it. So, you know, went for a pee, was doing my teeth, just stood there doing my teeth, when I suddenly hear a scream of, what the fuck?
That's how angry I was. This computer fucking hung up on me, on this system that doesn't need to be as... Oh, God, I'm so angry.
I'm just like,
I don't get angry about things. You can vouch for this, sweetie. I don't get angry.
No, he doesn't.
This is the only thing. This and, like, discrimination are the only things that make me angry in this fucking world.
You know, when we got married, I was, like, on the phone for 45 minutes trying to figure out how to change my name with that one like, person.
Yeah.
That was HMRC.
Fucking hell. Right, the gov.uk website is a fucking brilliant website because it is so simple. And every single link you could possibly want is there on the site, in front of your face, right there, ready to go. But then the second you actually take a peek behind the curtain, you realise it's just a dumpster fire of shit. Oh, God.
Like the government.
Like the government. Fucking hell.
Oh. Political alert. Oh. Lewis was like, this and discrimination are the only two things in the world that make me angry. So fuck war, fuck famine, fuck disease.
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
Okay, look, well, obviously I'm a reasonable person, but I think this is not reasonable.
Discrimination and the HMRC website. Fuck you.
That's it. No more. Oh, those two things.
Those two things. Nothing more. Nothing less.
Wow. You're a very chill man then, if those are the only two things that... that cause you any pain.
Well, that's the
in
thing.
Life.
I am pretty chilled out. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not laid back. Like, I like to be busy and doing things. But I don't get angry about things. But this has genuinely made me furious. It's such a needless... Oh, God, it's such a shit system. And it makes me so angry.
Maybe the entire ploy is to get you so worked up and just wish that you could pay the fine so that they can fine you.
Do you know what the fine is?
What?
It's £100. That's almost not worth the hassle.
That's going to be less than your taxes anyway.
It'll be less than my... Oh, God. Fuck.
No, £100's still £100.
It is, but...
I mean,
I can't afford
to waste £100 on a fucking website, I tell you that. I'm going to be... I'll go to hell before I give out £100 to these Robin bastards.
These HMRC bastards.
These fucking Robin bastards.
Oh, God. Well, that's over and done with. Have you got any bullshit you want to talk about, Danny?
Not particularly. I mean, I was going to think of something, then you were like, I've got something I'm going to be angry about. It's like, oh, yes. Excellent. That's gonna fill up the margins.
Oh, God. It's just like... the thing is, the whole point of doing your taxes online, it says this on literally every page on the government taxes website, the whole point is to make it easier and quicker. But I've spent like a fortnight doing my taxes at this point. It takes an afternoon at best. It is not a difficult process.
No.
But I've literally spent like a fortnight thinking about this and doing it. And
I haven't done mine yet because it's due next year, so...
that sums it up pretty well, to be fair.
I don't have to do it right this sec. I might do it at like December or something like that, you know, because it's due in January.
That's because you're a normal person, Daniel.
But Lewis is happy to play fucking WWE with the HMRC website before. Oh man. Oh.
Well, the thing that really frustrates me is the way that like my productive system works is like I write a to-do list every day and then I get all of the things on that list done, more or less. But every day for like the last however long, I've written try to do your taxes on the list, and it's just so fucking annoying. Like, why would they make it this hard anyway? It's in the government's best interests for me to pay taxes. They are getting money out of me paying taxes. Why make it so hard? I don't get it.
Well, I was gonna speak to their ideological base there, but they don't really have an ideological base.
Well, yep.
They're meant to, but they don't.
Oh, Christ. Right, if we've got no more bullshit, does anybody want to talk about this film?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Okay, well, I'm already furious, so let's get me even more angry
talking about
this film.
Let's talk about this dumpster fire.
Okie dokie, what film are we talking about today, Dan?
We're talking about one of Chloe's favourites, 27 Dresses. Whew. It was written by Aileen Brosh McKenna. It was directed by Anne Fletcher, and it's starring Katherine Heigl and James Marsden. There's other people, but fuck them.
Oh, crikey. Have you got an opening statement, Cocker?
I do. Yeah. Another predictable film with predictable characters and a predictable ending. I'm sick of this. Kill me. Kill me. Fucking kill me.
A confusing story about narcissism in a world where Katherine Heigl's own lack of self-confidence is the true villain.
That's the most generous fucking review I've ever heard for this film.
Have you got an opening statement, sweetie?
I don't have an opening statement. I come to these things very unprepared. I'm not just going to point that out.
It's really annoying.
You're annoying. Fuck you, Daniel. But however, I do have a statement of defence to put out regarding my taste in films.
Right.
Because Daniel judges me so badly.
Is this three-word statement?
No, actually.
Oh,
no,
right.
Yeah. I'm saying more words. We're pushing the boat out. We're fucking going for it today.
Oh.
Right. Whilst I enjoy these films, whilst I enjoy The Holiday and 27 Dresses, they are films that I like and that I enjoy, but they are not my favourite films.
Okay.
I would say that my top three films of all time are Hot Fuzz, Ocean's 11, and Jurassic Park. So I do like
Hot Fuzz,
decent
Jurassic
films.
Park. Yeah.
That's good. Thank God.
You're painting this image of me to these people that I've got shit taste when I don't.
That's because
other than my husband.
The only films that you've recommended are...
Did you hear that?
The only films that you've recommended are, in order, Love Actually, okay, The Holiday, and 27 Dresses, so fucking forgive me if I think that that's the sort of stuff that you like to watch.
I am trying to do you a favour and diversify what you're watching, because otherwise it's misery, 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 horror, gore, sadness. People need a break.
I'll tell you what was misery. Watching this fucking film, man.
Oh, Christ. Right, have you got any CRQs, mate?
Well, I'm gonna let you guys lead this one.
Okie dokie. First of all, what the fuck does an executive assistant do? Seems like a pointless job title. Seems like everything she does, he could do. Kirsten Ritter is kind of the best part of this film. She's only in about 5 scenes.
Yeah.
So, you know, come on now. Danny, I've got a question for you about the acting merits of the stars of this film.
Okay.
The man who plays the boss in this film.
Yep.
Did you prefer him in this or in The Holiday?
He's not in The Holiday, is he?
He is. He's Cameron Diaz's boyfriend at the start.
That's not him, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
No. That's not the same person.
I'm like pretty sure it is, yeah. I mean, I wrote it down here, so I guess, yeah.
Wait a minute, let me check.
Oh, is he? Right, okay. Right, well, while Danny's doing that, I'm going to say another, because I'm already on the vein of being angry. Katherine Heigl's relationship with James Marsden doesn't make any sense. Because not only does James Marsden essentially just behave like a cunt at the start of the film, they have completely different ideologies for their life, and also he, like... What's the word? Invades her privacy at great length. One of the first things he ever says to her is, "Oh, I like your thong." What the fuck? When she was driving away in that cab and he was like looking at her ass. Oh, that's creepy, right?
To
that's
be
not
fair,
just me.
I don't think that he was stood there like licking the window looking in her. I think it was a case of he saw an ass go flying past and just looked at it out of disbelief like, what the fuck did I just see? He wasn't just like, you know, licking the window going, "Ooh, you've got a nice bum."
Okay,
you
sort of get that. But
you were right.
Oh, good stuff. But
that's
then
change.
James Marsden, you sausage. James Marsden goes on to read her diary, tear out a full week from her obviously very busy file of acts.
Yep.
And then write a load of shite in it. Mm-hmm. This is a lady who is like sort of very career driven lady who's got a lot of things in her file of acts. This is essentially a major inconvenience in her life. It's like I run I mean, I say I run the business. The business is me. I run me from like a set from a notebook. Imagine if you met someone, or you dropped your notebook somewhere, then someone just opened it, got a Sharpie in it, and just wrote their name. John Smith, on every single page. How fucking annoying would that be?
I mean, the real issue is that she's still carrying a fucking file of fax.
Yeah, file of faxes are the worst organisational system, and I could talk about that at great length, but I think people might start to kill themselves while they're listening. Also, one other thing that James Marsden does is he compares Katherine Heigl to, you ready for this, the Unabomber.
Yep.
I do not understand the basis for a romantic relationship.
I've got to say, I think Kevin's the best character in the film. Before he betrayed his character and found love.
That is really weird, actually. He does. It's never really explained why he changes his viewpoint, or are we meant to believe he loves Katherine Heigl so much that he'll change his philosophy on
exactly
everything in his life? In a way.
I like the fact that you know, the love interest at the end of the film was an absolute arsehole. I think that's great, but obviously he can't be the protagonist's love interest and still be an arsehole. So we're just gonna get rid of that. No one's gonna say anything about it. And then 1 year later, after all the shit's happened, they're gonna get married. Yeah, out of the blue.
Oh Christ! Yeah, I don't. This is a crazy ass film. I've got a note here that says, "So, boss, sister, and James Marsden are all dicks. The boss disrespects and is oblivious towards Jane and her feelings. Sister is oblivious of Jane, goes out with the boss in spite of the fact that Jane is clearly hateful of that. And James Marsden reads a diary and is repeatedly extremely creepy to Jane."
Yep.
I just don't like it.
Is the guy who plays George just the dickhead boyfriend in every fucking chick flick?
He might be. Oh, crikey.
What about you, Chloe? Any CRQs? Any personal statements?
At the start, Katherine Heigl is a dick. Because, right, that taxi driver, she promises him $300
for the entire
night. And in the end, she gives him $140. He loses $160 worth of work.
Yeah.
Which is shit, because for $140, there's no point in him doing
a whole night's work. Because I feel like he could... Because when she said you'll lose $20 every time you look in the mirror, then he did it twice. She's like, right, you're down to $360. Okay. What's that?
$260.
$260, yeah, sorry. You're down to $260. I kind of understand that. But then she says, okay, $140, you know what you did. What did he do?
Was he
kept
like
looking in the mirror? He kept looking in the mirror. That's just...
I'm going to be honest, right? I don't think it's very... I think it's just a fucked up situation on all fronts.
Another note I've got. This film feels like maybe 50 minutes of content, 50 minutes of writing, spread over 2 hours of stuff.
Yeah.
It feels like this did not need to take 2 hours.
This is a long film for a rom-com. But then again, The Holiday was like 2 hours and like 14 minutes.
Mm. But then like Endgame and it felt was 3 hours long and this. It didn't feel this long.
Yeah.
This felt long.
Yeah. No, again, not one ugly person at all. They're all beautiful. They're all, you know. Oh, so annoying. Mm. It is. It's just so. There's no realism whatsoever to these kind of films.
Another thing, right? I mean, I keep just bashing on James Marsden at this point, but another thing about him is he was sort of very entitled at that point. The scene at which he gives her the Blackberry or whatever it is, he's being very entitled and he's like. Essentially he's saying, I was so nice to you and I didn't know they were going to do that, you should be respecting me, which is quite problematic behaviour. And then he literally, as she's walking away, he literally grabs her and pulls her back so she'll speak to him. That is just horrendous, right?
The amount of times that I've been doing something and you've just like grabbed me by the head or something like that.
Yeah.
Whoa. What?
I feel like the difference between that is like mine is a loving, playful. Oh, look at this! But James Marsden literally grabs her and wrenches her back across the street. I don't know. Am I approaching this from the wrong angle?
When I leave the room and you haven't kissed me enough,
are you referring to the pavement that they're on and she's like sort of upset? It's like you use me in your career to get ahead.
Mm.
and she starts to walk. I don't think it's halfway across the street. I think he just sort of...
How long are his arms?
Yeah, he juts her forward. I mean, he's an arsehole. Everyone knows he's an arsehole.
Mm.
But what is it he says? He says, I didn't know that they were going to do it. I don't think he says, you should be respecting me. I think he says, for the first time in your life, you did something. You know, you actually... He was encouraging the behaviour that she did.
Mm.
Because, you know, she's no longer sort of doing the whole, you know, oh, I'm just a bridesmaid and I'll organise everyone's wedding for them.
Mm.
Well,
maybe I might be wrong then. In the moment when I was taking these notes, I just remember thinking, that looks not good at all. That does not look right. Yeah.
But, I've got to say, I don't care about these characters at all.
Mm.
James Marsden could get knocked down by a car. His head could be smashed by a fucking tractor.
Right.
I wouldn't care. I really wouldn't. And, yeah. You know, and I have been blowing smoke off of these films for far too long. I have a tick now. I have a nervous tick every time I hear the word rom-com. A vein in my head bulges every time I hear the word rom-com. I need to take some classes. Need to get this under control. Smashing up old 2000s films with anyone remotely attractive in it.
I've got a question. All of the dresses that the brides wear at the end, are they Katherine Heigl's bridesmaid dresses?
Yeah, just from when she was in their weddings.
Okay.
Also, we need to have a poll with the listeners on which bridesmaid dress was the worst.
Yeah, which bridesmaid dress was the worst? If you've watched this film, let us know. Which bridesmaid dress was the worst?
My personal vote is the fucking god-awful pink and yellow one that is all poofy at the bottom. Because with the others, some of them you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's not great, but that's easily the worst one. Like, I think the pink and yellow go quite well together, but okay. I wouldn't want to fucking wear it.
Yes, I understand. What do you think, Dan? What's your least favourite bridesmaid dress?
The white one with the veil.
Right.
No, the green one.
Oh yeah, the sort of olive khaki green one.
Yeah, the one with the gloves. Yeah, the velvety sort of greenish one.
The gloves are a bit intense, aren't they?
You know which one I didn't mind?
Mm-hmm.
It was awful, but in the context, I didn't mind it. You know the one where they were dressed up as like Victorian ladies with like the umbrellas, and they all wore like a different colour?
Yeah.
Like, yes, those dresses are god-awful, but at least they had a theme, and they were in-fitting with the theme. Like, if she was just wearing it for shits and giggles while, like, walking around Tesco, yeah, fair enough. But when she was at an event with that theme where other people were wearing it, I don't feel like that'd be that bad.
Yep. I watched the trailer.
Right.
Beforehand. And I could tell. I could tell immediately that Katherine Heigl would end up with James Marsden. I knew immediately. And that is not a film that I want to watch. I don't want to know what's going to happen at the end of the film. And it's like, I feel as if I'm just grinding my wheels in the mud. Because it's like, you're not going to get no sound of me from this. You're not going to get a sudden epiphany of, oh, rom-coms are great. They always have been. They have always been amazing. I'm wrong. You're getting what you expect with me for these films. And I feel that it tires people out. It's like, oh, fuck's sake, Danny complaining again about love and happiness. It's like, oh, really? Okay, what did you expect? You throw a guy into a lion's cage, he's going to get eaten, right?
Right. So what's the lion cage in this situation? The film or the podcast?
The lion cage is the podcast.
Right.
I'm the lion, and the film is the guy
getting eaten.
Getting eaten, yeah.
Right.
Getting savaged and ripped apart.
I've got a question about the film. If we're done with the lion analogy, if Jane had more self-confidence, would this have been a completely different film? If Jane had the self-confidence to go up to her boss a month or two after meeting him and saying, look, I actually really like you, do you want to go for a drink? If she'd have said, no, I don't want to plan the 28th wedding. I don't want to plan this many weddings. Holy shit.
Yeah, but the point is that she likes weddings. That's why she does it.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
It's part of our very cool... Wow. Imagine being given a film script and being told that your entire characterization rests on weddings that aren't yours and you have to plan them. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. What is the point in weddings anyway?
You realize that you're talking to a married couple, right?
Yeah, I know, but what... I'm taking up Kevin's cynicism of them. I agree with some of the points that he made. I mean, they are just over-expensive you fucking love fests that are more likely to end now than any other time in history. You know, people are just getting divorced all the time. It's like... Which, I don't give a fuck about that, but what it's like, you're spending so much money. It's like, you must know. You know, whether it's going to work out or not. There has to be an inkling.
Mm. I think the point of view I come at it from is like, I got married for the marriage, not the wedding. Does that make sense?
That's why we didn't have a big wedding.
Exactly, we didn't have a big wedding. We went away and it was just the two of us and a photographer. We
I like that.
We deliberately didn't have a big thing. We wanted to be married more than we wanted that big day. Like, we started looking at different, like, venues and different seating plans and different things and thinking, well, this is so expensive and difficult and confusing and stressful.
It was the seating plan, wasn't it? Like, you sat there going, oh, well, we can't put Aunt Mildred next to Uncle Fred because they hate each other.
Yeah.
These two don't get on. Those two got divorced a while ago. Where do we sit the kids?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, shit like that.
Oh, it's crazy.
You'd have put me at the kids' table, wouldn't you?
We'd have left you outside.
You would have tied you to the fence outside.
Just, no, just knocking on the window. Let me in! It's cold!
I hate marriage!
Don't do it, Lewis!
No, because I've been to a couple of weddings and they've always been Catholic weddings.
Yeah. I've never done a Catholic wedding.
They go off forever,
wedding other than my own, but you know.
Catholic weddings are shite, by the way. It's like right. 2 hours. 2 hours of some grey man talking. It's just going on about how we're all... You're going to raise your kid to be a Christian soldier. It's like, what? What are you on about, mate? What are you on about? Everyone sing. Everyone stand up and sing. I don't want to get up. I've just been up doing a prayer. No. Sit back down. Right, get up and sing. It's like fucking musical chairs. And then it's like there's... They go up and there's about 18 hours of vows. And then everyone walks out. But, you know, you need to wait until your pew is called, you know. So the first pew goes out, second pew. It's like fucking being in school, I tell you.
I understand the point you're coming at it from. Like, the weddings are this ridiculously costly thing when you start to consider it. And, like, we had a friend that was planning a wedding. And I remember they told us that it was, like, thousands of pounds to hire a room for the evening or something ridiculous. Like, for the actual, like... wedding reception. It's insane the amount of... You put the word wedding on something and it's like a million percent marker. It's insane.
See if I was ever going to get married, it wouldn't be, you know, all traditional or anything like that. It would be a wedding tailored to myself and my spouse.
You'd quote, there will be blood at the altar.
and I'd let... Do you know what I'd do? I'd do the last scene of There Will Be Blood with my spouse.
Oh my god, what, you'd beat her to death with a bowling pin?
And I'd beat her to death with a bowling pin, and it'd be like, I'm finished! And that's when we sign and get married. Oh yeah, and there'd be a prenup as well.
Right.
Because I don't trust any of you fuckers. And when I say you fuckers, I mean humanity.
Danny, trust issues her.
I think anyone who doesn't get a prenup is playing with fire there. You know, not you two, because you two are just like so annoyingly compatible.
I think as well. I understand what you're saying about prenups, but on the same level, I think it's about like not only is it about like trusting your partner that if it does get to that point of divorce, you sort of trust them to come to an amicable arrangement. You have to sort of know, are you going to marry someone who will become a psychopath and take everything you own? Do you know what I mean? It's about trust and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but like, I mean, you can still trust each other, but just sort of remove the temptation, can't you?
I suppose for both
parties, you know. It's like, because it means that I'm not getting any of your stuff either. So it's like, it just completely removes any. But if we have a massive argument and a massive falling out and we just hate each other, it removes any ability to do us harm. And, you know, that may be planning for failure, but it's just like, you know, I'd rather have it there so that I don't lose half of the shit that I own.
Mm.
But, that's just me. And, you know, I might not get married, you know.
Okay, so...
Ricky Gervais isn't married. And he's been with his girlfriend for like decades, and they don't want to get married because they don't want to label it, which is great. I think that's great. Maybe I'll do something like that.
I think something that is a motivator as well, but people don't talk about it, is how the hell do I word this without it sounding like I'm gonna say rights that you gain when you get married. Like, the moment that we got married, I became his next of kin, he became my next of kin. Therefore, if anything happens to me, it's Lewis who gets all of my stuff, because I haven't wrote a will because I'm like 20. I don't want to die. And, like, if something, God forbid, touch wood, you know, fingers crossed, like, if I was to get hit by a car, then all of these choices would come down to Lewis. And he's in control of the situation. Because I know that before we got married, if something could have happened to him, I would have had no power to have made any choices or anything, and there were people who would have stopped me from being involved in the situation, whereas now that's automatically my right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, well, so I'm not going to even say that it's planning for failure anymore, it's just a contingency then, because that's a contingency, and people...
I suppose, technically.
So... And if I was gonna marry someone, I'd like to think that they would be as independent as I am and want to keep their own surname. I'd love to get married to a person who wants their own surname and be like, fuck off, I'm not taking your name.
Oh, I couldn't fucking wait to get rid of mine. Going from Johnson Allhawk to Brindley, my life is so much easier, it's shorter, and there are no references to penises in it.
Yeah, no references to penis. Forms take so much less time to fill out.
Fucking right, oh my god.
And these people always have forms, at least a vague idea of how Brindley is spelled.
These fucking forms, where there's like one box per letter, are fucking bullshit. With a name like Johnson Allcock, it takes me 15 fucking minutes to fill out the fucking form. There are never enough boxes, and the hyphen needs its own fucking box.
Johnson Allcock. That sounds like the name of a retired porn star.
Fucking right! It's got two references to penises in it. And do you want to know the fucking beauty of it? For my entire life, I was Johnson. I became Johnson Allcock when I was 15, also known as high school.
Yeah.
And, just for the fucking irony of it, at the time, I had a girlfriend.
Well, I mean, you know, it's...
I don't.
I had a girlfriend that was walking around with a name like Johnson Allcock.
Now you've got a name like Brindley.
God help me.
You poor thing.
What a journey.
Fucking character development. Okay, so
well, it's better than the character development in this film.
Fuck's sake.
You're not wrong.
But marriage is about being a team. An intergalactic dream team!
Oh my god, for God's sake. Oh, I was about to launch into Captain Holt's speech about marriage from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Oh,
well, you'll have to hold it. Right. So, it is my turn this week for some intergalactic dream team fun.
It is, I've got my pencil, I'm ready to critique. Oh,
excellent. Okay, so, my first hero... Is Batman.
Batman. Well, you don't need another. Yep. You don't need the rest of the team, then, do you?
Yeah, I know. The second hero is the Borg Queen.
Right. I've never actually seen First Contact.
Oh, she's in Voyager as well.
Ah, okay.
Have you seen Voyager?
I've seen some of Voyager, not all of it.
Yeah. My fourth hero is Magneto.
Okay. I'm beginning to think you have a very specific plan here.
Yeah. And my fifth hero, this one is the most crucial.
Yeah, your fifth. You've only got three so far. Batman, Borg Queen, Magneto.
Oh, shit, I missed one. Okay, so after Borg Queen, it's Villanelle.
Okay.
From Killing Eve.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know who Villanelle is, she's an assassin. A very highly skilled assassin. Mm-hmm. And then it's Magneto. And then number five is... Are you ready for this?
Yes.
A mouse droid from Star Wars.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, well... Have you ever seen... You've not seen Star Wars, have you?
No.
Well, they're tiny little droids that just sort of whiz along and... Yeah, but I'll explain why I need him.
Okay.
Or her.
What's the ship?
The ship is a Star Destroyer.
Right? Starting to think this is going to be very easy for you.
Well, you would think. And the big bad is Sauron without the One Ring.
Isn't Sauron, like, basically God?
No, are you fucking kidding me on?
Right, I have never watched or read Lord of the Rings. Okay. The vibe I get is that he's like Satan or something.
No, he's a lieutenant of Satan at best.
Okay.
He's pretty goddamn powerful, man.
Okay.
So Sauron without the One Ring is basically I'm setting this in Middle Earth, right? Because it has to be. I mean, why else? Because where else would it be? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sauron is in Mordor, and without his ring, he just sort of stays in his tower. He doesn't like coming out. That is an actual thing. You don't actually see him in the books, and in the film, he's just an eye on a tower. Really, he's only mentioned, and it's just sort of foreboding evil. Okay, so he's stuck in his tower without the One Ring. Okay, so our team have the One Ring. Right.
Whoa! That's a big leap. Isn't it like a difficult process to get this incredibly powerful object? How do they get it in Lord of the Rings?
Well, they find it.
Oh right. Okay. So you're saying a creature, or whoever happens across it.
A creature called Gollum in the caves of the Misty Mountains has it.
Right.
And Bilbo Baggins wanders through, finds it, and then escapes. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what this ring is, but he finds it. The ring can turn him invisible. He's like, oh, fucking brilliant magic. I'll just take this. And then they find out in Lord of the Rings, oh, it's the most dangerous weapon in the world. So it happened by chance that they got it. So I see no reason. The goodies always have it.
Okay.
That's the whole point. Like, even in War of the Ring, remember the big board game, you always start off with the ring.
Okay, yeah.
Because if Sauron had the ring, then it would be game over, essentially. That's the point that they make.
It's game over, man.
Okay, so my plan is so the mouse droid, I'm gonna glue the ring to the mouse droid.
Okay, we're using what kind of glue?
Super glue.
Super glue. Okay.
Yeah, the strongest glue you could ever have.
Right.
Okay, so the mouse droid, I'm trying to picture Middle Earth in my head. Okay, so let's say we start off in it might be helpful getting a map, Lewis.
Okay, I'm going to get a map of Middle Earth up, as you do.
Right.
Okay, I've got a map of Middle Earth. It's the first Google image result, so I hope it's a good one.
Right, okay, so can you tell me, can you see Iriador?
Jesus fucking Christ, the text is so tiny. Iriador? How are you spelling that?
It's E-R-I-A-D-O-R.
Iriador. Where is it?
It's in the top left-hand corner.
Oh, those really small bits.
Oh, yeah, they're really... have we seen it? Iriador, yep.
Yep, it's a big, and it should go right across.
Yes, it does.
Right, okay, so we're starting there, right?
It's about, okay, it looks like Wales, really, is what it looks like.
Yeah, a little bit.
Upside down Wales.
Yep, so we start there, right? So I send the mouse droid down the right side of the mountains.
Okay.
So there's a mountain pass through Moria.
Right.
That we can go through, and we go down the side of the mountain, and the other guys, they march down the left side, right, all the way down to Gondor, right at the bottom. See that?
Gondor.
Yeah, we get all the troops there. We get all the Gondorian troops because they're there, and then we march along up the side of Mordor.
Okay.
Right, and at the very sort of peak of Mordor, like almost like a triangle.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's the Black Gate. Right.
Okay.
And that's where everyone gets into Mordor. Right. So all my army will be gathered out there, and we'll be waiting for Sauron to send his forces. Right. So the mouse droid, at this point, has went all the way down past Rohan. It's gone past the Black Gate. Right. Down, and has went through the pass of Minas Morgul, okay? Minas Morgul, right, okay? So he's through, right? And now the mouse droid is in Mordor, okay? So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to fucking launch my Star Destroyer at the Black Gate, just fucking crash it into it, right? Take out a good few of his troops. And they're just gonna fight. Fuck them. They're just gonna fight. Sauron's gonna be really distracted with these guys.
Right.
And the mouse droid is gonna fucking slowly work his way to Mount Doom. Just this wee thing. Do 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 do. Go up to Mount Doom. Go into the crack of Doom, and then just launch himself into the flames, and the ring is destroyed. And because. You know, it's a Deus Ex Machina. All the orcs just run away after Sauron dies. That does happen.
Okay.
They just fucking bottle it and run. Mm. And, Sauron is defeated, and I win.
Okay, well, here's my question for you. Is the mouse droid resilient enough to take such an enormous journey?
You can if you program it.
Yeah, okay. What's to...
It's a droid. Anything else?
No, nothing else. It's frustratingly watertight.
Yeah, I mean, so that is how they do it in the film, essentially. Not with a fucking mouse droid or a Star Destroyer, but they send Frodo and Sam through the pass of Minas Morgul and sort of sneak into Mordor, and all the armies of the West just position themselves outside the Black Gate as a distraction. And Sauron is so focused on you know, destroying them. But then Frodo puts on the ring. He succumbs to its evil. And it's so funny. It's like Sauron's looking at them, and then goes, "Oh shit, what?" And they just, because he's like, anyone that puts on the ring, Sauron can just sort of know where they are, because it's like part of his essence. And it's like, "Oh shit, what the fuck?" And he looks over at the mountain, and he sends like all of his forces fucking tumbling back. It's like, "Get to that fucking mountain now, boys! Get to that mountain!"
Right. So you're saying that the mouse droid sort of yeets itself into the volcano.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I'm into it. I kind of get it. I like it.
Yep.
Winning by droid suicide.
Yeah, and then that's it.
What if the mouse droid gets stuck?
Well, it's a droid. He has, like, compartments and that.
No, I'm googling mouse droid. Oh, Christ. Yeah, this looks like it's really easy to get it stuck somewhere. It does not look... It has terrible ground clearance. This will get stuck on a rock. I guarantee it. It does look like a shit canine. Plus, I imagine it has some sort of, like, self-preservation instinct. Otherwise, it's a shit droid.
No, it doesn't have a self-pre... If you program a droid to do something, it's emotionless. It's gonna fucking do it. It's a bit of technology. You don't... If I want my Apple phone to phone someone, it doesn't go, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, are you sure you want to phone that person? Did you know of a wee tiff earlier on?" Do you know what I mean? It's just gonna fucking do it, because I'm telling it to.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
What if the route deviates from what you know? Like, what if there's a slight, like, a tree has fallen in the path, and the droid just sort of gets to the tree and has to stop, like a Roomba?
Well, it's a droid, okay?
Well, it It's essentially... I feel like essentially this is a space Roomba.
We should get a Roomba.
It's not a fucking Roomba.
How is it more advanced than a Roomba? Explain that to me.
Can we get a Roomba?
What do you mean, how is it more advanced? It's designed to work on the Death Star.
Yes, but it's designed to poodle back and forth. It's not designed to do anything, right? What does it do? How...
If it works on the Death Star, it can fucking work on a planet.
Yes, but the Death Star is designed to be smooth corridors. It's a rocky... I've seen bits of Lord of the Rings. That, it has to climb up a rocky mountain. It has to get through what I'm presuming lots of different biomes, like tundras and forests.
No tundras.
A forest?
No, because we can avoid the forests.
So it's just completely fine, plain... grassland that's been freshly mowed all the way from the start point
with
to
no
Mount
rocks.
Doom. No rocks, nothing in the way.
These droids were usually programmed with a single function that varied per assignment. Once they were set in their task, they would do nothing else. Get it up, you.
No, right. Okay. I understand that. What I'm saying is, this does not look like a complicated enough thing to be able to problem solve. So, say you program it. To say, right, get to Mount Doom and yeet yourself.
Aha! They had two small internal arms that they could use to dislodge themselves from any corners that they get stuck in.
So does it have, like, rudimentary problem-solving abilities?
Yeah.
So how intelligent is it? How conscious is it? Is it, like, Data?
I think it's, like, No, it's less evolved than Data.
Okay. Because C-3PO and R2-D2, they're basically Data, right?
R2-D2's. C-3PO's more like Data, I think.
Mm.
But I think it can recognise when it's like being, you know... It's like an automatic car, a really advanced automatic car. It's like it can tell when something's going to hit it. Or
okay.
It's got sensors, or so, you know, so...
Is it conscious?
What do you mean, is it conscious?
For it to have problem-solving capabilities, is it conscious? Is it aware of what's around it in a true sense? Has it got some kind of AI inbuilt? Is it conscious?
It's aware of what's around it, but it's not aware of, like, you know, feelings or anything like that. It's just aware of... I would imagine it's just things around it that have to be avoided so that it can get to Mount Doom.
I have a question.
Go on.
So we've established that it's basically a Roomba. What is there to...
No, we haven't.
What is there to stop someone from picking it up and taking it home with them?
It's got two small arms.
Two small arms are not going to stop, like, an enormous ent or something. Just, like, picking it up and yeeting it out of Mount Doom.
Or not even that, just, like, taking it home.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Ents would never be in Mordor, you fool.
Some kind of force aligned with Sauron, then. There is nothing stopping going, that looks like it's got the One Rings taped to its face, and then picking it up and casting it in concrete.
Yes, it does, because all of the forces are at the Black Gate. Because a fucking Star Destroyer has crashed into the buildings that have held up the Black Gate for fucking thousands of years.
Right.
So I think every orc that's worth his salt is going to be like, oh my god, what the fuck's that over there? And just go over. Because Sauron has a sort of telepathic hold over all of his minions.
Right.
And he's just like, get over there and fucking deal with them, right? So, and then the space Roomba just keeps going, climbs up the mountain. So
it's the fact that you are leaning so hard on these two small arms, they are going to do the heavy lifting of this quest. Plus, I remember you telling me at one point, yeah, somebody could pick up, unless the two small arms know kung fu,
then
they just beat the shit out of anyone that picks it up.
I mean, it's got two arms, it can two metal titanium arms.
Yes, but I remember you telling me once that the closer you get to Mount Doom, the heavier the ring gets. So, is this space Roomba going to be able to carry this incredibly heavy object?
Well, thank fuck Tolkien made it so vague. But what that means, what he it could either mean that it does get heavy, or it's emotionally heavy, and sort of begins to corrupt even more.
Well, if this thing has a rudimentary problem-solving AI, and it becomes corrupt, what's to say this thing couldn't replace Sauron?
No, Lewis. No.
If you'd have said anything else other than mouse droid, I would have completely gone with this to the death. If you'd have said Data from TNG puts the ring on his finger, then detaches his hand and makes his hand walk from A to B, I would say, yep, I completely agree with you. That makes complete sense. It's this mouse droid I have trouble
with. Just pick it up.
Yeah, I feel like an orc could pick this up at the point where it goes through the pass or whatever.
It's going to avoid the orcs, right?
So it must be intelligent then. And if it's intelligent, then
of course it knows to go from Rivendell to fucking Mordor. It's not
stopping someone from just picking it up and taking it home.
Yes.
Realistically.
100%.
And before you say, oh, it's got little arms. Right.
Pinch.
A fucking turtle has got four limbs and a face that bites, and you can still pick up a turtle.
I feel like I could pick up a snapping turtle if I had to.
It's nowhere near as fucking slow as a turtle, okay?
How fast is it?
It's pretty fast. It's like, it's almost like a Roomba. No. it's like an electric scooter at its fastest
speed. Like one of those hoverboard things.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's shaped like, you know those kids' suitcases that have wheels and you sit on it and like ride along on it?
Yeah.
It's shaped like one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, so.
Yeah, but could I sit on it and it just like take me to places?
No, it's not. It's not big enough to sit on.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of it here, what appears to be some stormtroopers' feet. It looks like a small person could sit on that.
Yeah, that like comes to like mid-shin height.
Yeah, it comes to, about mid-shin.
Right, okay, so no one's going to notice it. It's tiny. No one's going to care.
I think I'd notice
everyone's
a
gonna
fucking
be,
suitcase
everyone's
gonna
wheeling
be itself
about
past
about
me.
The numberless forces outside the Black Gate.
I'm worried
no
about
one's
it.
No going to care.
I care.
It looks like... It could almost be like a rock. It almost looks like a rock.
If you'd have said at the start of this, Batman, using his incredible intellect, disguises this thing to look exactly like a rock, I would say, yeah, okay, fine. They'll just think it's some kind of moving rock that's fallen off a hill and is carried on rolling. The mouse droid that I'm not comfortable with the mouse droid's ability to yeet itself into Mount Doom.
No.
See, to be fair, like, Mount Doom, getting to Mount Doom has always been the what? It's like, why don't the eagles just fly them to Mount Doom? It's like, there's actually a reason why, and it's like, it's apparently it's meant to be very hard to get to Mount Doom, so.
And you're relying on a space Roomba
to
do the work that
listen,
people struggle
it's
to
you,
do.
It's you that's fucking calling it a Roomba. I know it ain't a Roomba.
It is essentially a
It's not a Roomba.
I urged you to Google mouse droid. It is essentially a space Roomba. It is slightly differently shaped. It looks maybe like a bar of chocolate on wheels.
It looks like a shit canine.
Yes, it does. It looks like canine, but remove his head and put some wheels on the bottom. That's what it looks like.
And K-9 could have probably done a better job.
Yeah, K-9 is intelligent. K-9 is K-9 could have done this.
No, he couldn't have.
But then why can an autonomous mouse droid?
Because I said so.
Well, now that we know that the space Roomba could not, in fact, yeet itself into Mount Doom.
Yes, it could. Yes, it... Okay, so as the Star Destroyer's crashing, he shoots an escape pod right into the door of Mount Doom. The mouse droid jumps out and yeets himself in. Boom.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm happy
fine.
With that.
Excellent. Done.
Oh, Christ. Right, before we wrap up, have we got any more questions about the film?
I'm going to read these notes that you've made, because there's always some fucking stupid ones.
Okie dokie. Like that
fuck
one there
me,
that
that's been
I
an
like
hour.
Elton John.
Where do we start? Here.
We haven't even talked about the...
For the vast majority of this podcast, I complained about HMRC and we talked about a space Roomba yeeting itself into Mount Doom.
Yep. What else? I feel like Scorsese talking about Marvel films when it comes to rom-coms.
Right.
Yeah, that's the last note I have.
I see. I have some notes. Chloe's reading through them now to find a hilarious one. Have you found any hilarious ones yet?
most necessary slap in movie history.
Yeah, when the best when she's like staring agog at her boss, and her friend is like just slaps her, like wake the fuck up. The most necessary slap in history.
Wow. Wow.
Danny's deeply offended by that.
Can we talk about the whole sister wedding dress thing?
That was weird. Yeah, it's horrible. The sister's a massive cunt.
It's horrible
to be like, oh yeah, I want Whoa. To wear your mother's wedding dress. And then it's just like, okay, in that case, I'm just going to cut it up and use parts of it and throw the rest away.
Wow, I don't think you've ever said that word in this podcast, Lewis.
Well, I'll have... Yeah, probably not. Maybe.
Oh, fuck. Watch your fucking language. And that's something my mum used to always say. You watch your fucking language in my house. I don't know where I was going with that. What were we talking about?
I'm still thinking about the fucking space Roomba. What is the point of the mouse droids? What do they do on the Death Star?
They send messages.
Have they not got email?
No.
What? That's ridiculous. They've not got email or even some kind of like in TNG where they press the badge and goes,
Lewis,
Darth Vader
Lewis.
To Stormtrooper number 347.
Lewis is just raging because his plan to kill Q was ridiculous.
My plan to kill Q was flawless and worked perfectly.
It was flawless. You'd fucking Clifford the Big Red Dog eat him.
Yeah, exactly. What's not to love about that? It works perfectly.
Brilliant, man. Brilliant, man. It's pure flawless, man. Oh, God. If we get any other notes...
I'm not sure. Have we got any more other notes, sweetie?
Why stick the ribbon on the screen, God?
Yes, why would you... Right, if you're going to give somebody a present that relies on you being able to see the screen, why would you put adhesive directly on the screen? Because he sticks a little bow directly on the screen. Like some kind of twat.
Like a mouse droid with a ring on it. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
The mouse droid.
Yeah, I like the mouse droid, so I put a ring on it.
Can we talk
the
about
the most powerful ring in the world?
Can we talk about the scene with the slideshow?
Yeah, Danny, what do you think of the slideshow scene?
Oh yeah, that was funny.
I think it's quite out of character for Jane. I think I feel surprised that Jane didn't say it sooner to Bossman. By the way, Tess has lied to you about her entire existence. She hates animals, always has.
Yeah.
She's just doing this because she's rich.
I mean, it's basically the plot of that one episode of Friends with Phoebe's twin sister.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I can't remember that one either.
Rather than
just pulling him aside, having a quiet moment and saying, by the way, my sister's not who she says she is. Yeah, have a fucking slideshow with everyone there. Everyone's watching, you know. You could say, look, I don't think you're right for my sister. She doesn't like any of the things that you're into. I mean, she's just doing it, you know. It's like, no, I'm going to do a slideshow for both families, and it's going to be really embarrassing. Mm. So fuck it.
Go on, what were you saying, Gorgeous?
It is like that episode of Friends.
Mm.
It's a costume party.
Okay.
Phoebe's dressed as
Supergirl. Yeah.
Eric turns up dressed as the solar system for some godforsaken reason.
Mm.
Ursula turns up and like...
It's like, oh yeah, I'm a UN peacekeeper.
Yeah,
or something
like,
she says.
I'm a teacher. Mm. And like she doesn't smoke and has stopped different people from smoking. It's just lies. And then Phoebe tells Eric.
Yeah, and Eric's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they don't get married.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like Friends.
But not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey. I think that's the end of my notes, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you got a closing...
I just wanted to get in that, yeah.
Have you got a closing statement, Cocker?
Yep, I do. Sigh. You're not going to get anything other than cynicism from me. It's like Einstein's definition of insanity. I hated it.
I don't enjoy this film, aside from the learning experience it offers in re the villainousness of low self-esteem. I think this film, it kind of bores me a bit, you know what I mean?
That is so boring. Do you know what people are going to remember about this podcast?
What?
the fucking most joy.
Yes, they are. Because it's the mouse
space Roomba.
It is a space Roomba. If I ever get a Roomba,
it's not a space Roomba.
If I ever get a Roomba, I will call it a mouse droid because
it's not a Roomba.
It's basically just a Roomba. It just scoots around.
It's not a Roomba. No, 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 no. A Roomba can clean. A mouse droid can't clean.
Well, apparently a mouse droid does fuck all. What does it do?
What if you programmed it to clean?
Right, okay, I'm fucking searching what it does, right?
Well, you said, right...
If this mouse droid duty is cleaning,
yes,
I swear to God...
Because you said, right, that once it's programmed, it will do anything that it can to execute that duty. Mm. Program it to clean, give it a dustpan and brush with its little shitty tiny arms that you're so insistent that it has,
yeah.
Problem solved. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Roomba.
Yeah, sorted. Roomba. Roomba, 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 Roomba.
Fucking Jesus. Right, okay, so it says, the MSE series general purpose droid was originally sold to the Chadra fan homeworld. They mimicked the Pleakey, a common household pet. They thought that the galactic market would consider it, in quotation marks, cute, and manufactured these droids in the billions. They sold very well, but most of them were returned as they reminded people of disease-carrying vermin.
Oh my god.
In one event, the entire Ara species sent them back. The reason was that the little droids skittering underfoot made them uncomfortably hungry. What? Eventually, they became so desperate that they offered every one of the droids to the Imperial Navy, as they were short on droids and needed to catch up with the other Imperial forces. They offered them for a small price and gave all of them to the Galactic Empire. Every ship in the fleet has hundreds of them. Their use was only limited by their owner's creativity. These droids were often used to carry messages.
So it's like a Mises. Vast...
Yeah, a little bit. In vast Imperial ships and battle stations, as well as leading troops through mazes of corridors to their assigned posts. They also had two small internal arms that they could do a variety of tasks,
right.
such as sanitation.
Oh my god. So they're
and
cleaning
and security.
Yeah, but sanitation, they're essentially space Roombas.
And security, you're forgetting about that bit. And
what are they possibly going to do? They don't have a gun. If somebody with a lightsaber comes down a corridor, he's gonna kill a mouse droid with fairly little effort.
No, but the point is that they're not. You wouldn't suspect a mouse droid, so it comes up behind you and like stabs you in the foot with a poison dart or something. I don't know. On the Death Star, they led stormtroopers through its many hallways and levels. They were programmed to melt their processors upon capture, creating a small localized explosion. Oh, in the Yuuzhan Vong War, some MSEs were updated to serve as miniature YVH-1 droids that specialised in detecting Oglith maskers. So, essentially, it's not a fucking space Roomba. It's it does security, it can detonate itself.
It's a space Roomba with the power of a Meeseeks.
Yeah, and you can program and it's only limited by its owner's creativity, so there you go.
So could you give it an impossible task? What would it... If you said, please get from the surface of the... Generate, make cold fusion work. Would it be able to do that?
I don't know.
Make a fusion reactor, please, and then it just does it.
I don't know, but I win.
You win.
Well, I think that's us.
I think that might be us. Have you got a closing statement, Cocker?
I read it.
Oh, of course you did. Bloody hell. So did I. Fucking Jesus. Right, have we got anything else to do then? We've got a bit of shilling on.
We've got shilling to do. Yep. This was a weird one. I'm on Instagram. Rather than talk about, rather than concluding what we thought of the film. Yeah, okay. What is a mouse droid? Is it a space Roomba? Is it not?
A mouse droid is a space Roomba, and I will die on this hill!
Okay. I'm on Instagram at Ohiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel K. Actor. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
I am on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley. I'm on Twitter at Lewis_Brindley4. And I am also on Facebook. I have a Facebook page which is called Lewis Brindley.
What are you on, Chloe?
Meth? Nope, nothing.
Quite right.
I am on Instagram at number 12 Crochet Avenue. It's my little business. So check that out. It's fun. We've got a Patreon. We've got a lot of yarn and stuff. I take commissions if you've got shit that you want making. Like, you know, for presents and shit.
She's super duper mega good at it. And while we've been talking about is a mouse droid a space Roomba or not, she's crocheted some beautiful hearts out of some beautiful yarn. She is an extremely good egg. She's incredibly good at it.
I'm also going to do some outrageous advertising that isn't for me. I know if this is okay. Oh. That is.
Yeah, go for it.
Y'all need to check out my gal over at Right Side Yarns. Her business went live like last week. She makes amazing yarn. They are the ultimate power couple. They both work full time. He works for the NHS. They are full-time parents as well, raising two children, and they've now started business in the middle of a fucking pandemic. They deserve all of the love in the world, and you'll need to go and give it to them.
That's fantastic. Wow. That's quite impressive. I feel so inadequate with myself.
Honestly, it's insane. They're absolutely amazing. And they're so nice as well.
They are extremely nice. This is true.
Well, we are hosted by Podomatic.
We are?
We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, we've got a YouTube channel, we're on Deezer, we've got a PayPal donate button, we're on Patreon, and we would like to thank our lovely good egg people, patrons, dastardly, amazing folk, Chloe,
Wait.
Darius, Sophie. Chloe, you've had your turn now, come on, let's be fair. Chloe, Darius, Sophie, Peter, and Aditya. Thank you so much,
yes,
guys, for supporting us. You really make this whole thing worthwhile.
You're not welcome.
As part of their benefits that they get, as part of the Patreon tiers, I'm just going to go right past that one, sweetie. As part of their benefits they give the Patreon tiers, they get access to a private, members-only, invite-only Discord. And it's a lot of fun. Come and check out the Patreon if you want to get involved. It is super-duper fun. Check us out.
Definitely. And we also have merch. We have cool merch.
We do.
Lewis, you do it your best.
We have got a wide variety of things, and I'm just going to... Danny, just vamp for a second. Hang on.
He's typing. Yeah, vamping. Vamping. It's a thing that vampires do when they're in season. They start to exfoliate.
Yep. Well, Danny, I've got a question for you, mate. A big, big, complicated question.
Go on.
Do you own things?
I do own things.
The things that you own might be enhanced by having a sticker on them with our artwork?
You know, I do actually.
Well, good news, you can buy one of those on our Teespring store.
Oh!
There'll be a link in the description. There's a link in our link trees. It's everywhere. We've got phone cases, stickers, t-shirts, hoodies, posters, socks, more t-shirts, tote bags, another sweatshirt, and a mug.
Fuck a duck. That is excellent.
It is ludicrous.
Well,
absolutely insane.
Amazing. Amazing. We're gonna build a mouse droid. We're gonna put that on.
We are not going to do that, George Lucas. Please don't sue us.
No. I mean, a rat android. See how I did it?
Space Roomba.
Space Roomba. Yeah, we're going to make a Space Roomba.
Space Roomba, yeah. We masterfully avoided the copyright there.
Beautifully, yes.
Well... I think that's us.
I think it is us, yes. I think that's everything. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's been a bit of a funny one.
Whoa! Lewis!
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Danny has picked what we're going to do next week, and he hasn't told us. He's going to tell us live on air. I've got my notebook out, ready to write down whatever you say.
What we are doing next week, folks, is... what we're doing is a fantastic film called No Country for Old Men, and it stars Tommy Lee Jones, Josh Brolin, and Javier Bardem. Mm. So it's a fucking phenomenal film, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it.
Is the country for young men? Is there a country for young men?
No.
Oh, well then, what's the point in being alive? Thank you very much for listening to this episode of our podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. I hope you are looking forward to No Country for Old Men. It is a film that Danny likes. And after that, we're going to do something ridiculous which Danny might like or he might not. We don't know.
Can I put a suggestion forth?
You can. I also have a suggestion.
I feel like we're going to say the same thing.
I think
as long as it's not a fucking rom-com.
Well, I was going to say Hot Fuzz.
Yeah!
Yes, actually. Let's do Hot Fuzz. Let's do Hot Fuzz.
Can I be on that one?
Let's do Hot Fuzz. I love Hot Fuzz.
Let's do Hot Fuzz. That's a good idea.
I finally did it! I came up with a good film!
Amazing. Amazing. Wait. Next one is number 36, isn't it?
Yes.
And then number 36.
That's how numbers work.
We could do the Cornetto trilogy and then before the 40. Before number 40. And I have an idea for number 40 that I could run past you and we can talk about it. But
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
shit, we're still fucking recording.
Hot Fuzz 37 and then what were the other ones? World's End.
Great film.
World's End and Shaun of the Dead.
And Shaun of the Dead. Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. Shaun of the Dead. Cool.
Oh my god.
Shaun. Oh. Dead. And then that's up to episode 39. So, I mean, you're just listening to us doing admin now. Go home. Haven't you got something better to do?
I'm gonna... Hopefully you didn't just... Waste your life! Oh, wait!
I got my GED!
I might have a big Santa Claus beard! See you then!
Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We will see you around for next week's episode, which is No Country for Old Men.
Yep. Wait. And then the Cornetto trilogy.
Yes.
And all that.
Ooh. Yeah. Nah. We like Cornettos on so much. And also, we like Simon Pegg. And also, we like Nick Frost.
I would sleep with Simon Pegg. I make no secret of that.
I think that might be a topic for another day. Come back if you want to hear that.
If you want to hear more about the wonders of adultery, please come back.
If you agree with us that a mouse droid is essentially a space Roomba, put it on social media, # space Roomba.
Right, I'm killing this now. It's over. Let's end it here before we go any further.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Bye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.